Today's reading is from John, 3rd chapter, John 2 through 6. Please turn to 3rd John 2, 6 in your Bible or turn to page 989 in the Bibles provided for you. Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. It gave me great joy when some believers came and testified about your faithfulness to the truth, telling how you continue to walk in it. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Dear friend, you are faithful in what you are doing for the brothers and sisters. Even though they are strangers to you, they have told the church about your love. Please send them on their way in a manner that honors God. You may be seated and the children may go to Children's Church.
It's been a while, but I read the book Grit by Duckworth. It's a great book. About perseverance. She gives an example of a lady. I don't know if she had a college degree or didn't, but she's starting out in the restaurant, hotel, hospitality business, and she volunteers to be the cashier. She volunteers weekends. She volunteers on Mother's Day and Valentine's Day. Those are days that you don't ask off for, but she'd volunteer and volunteer to do whatever needed to be done. She'd work the back of the house. She'd work the front of the house. She worked with the fry cooks. She learned it all. And so the owner promoted her to GM, given her own restaurant, she got to travel. Why? Because she had grit. Now, some of the problems with Duckworth's book, Grit, she didn't always get into sometimes the dark and dirty. And it kind of bugged me, and I was reading reviews, and this one person goes, you know, my daughter, she did all that. She worked the fry cook, she mopped the floors, and then you know what happened? The owner hired a son. That happens. Life isn't fair. And yet she had to have grit to go on. In the book, sometimes they kind of go over that, just if you persevere and you work hard, you're going to make it. Not always, generally. And then, but that's life. That's life at work. That's life in the church. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come before you today, Lord, let us be a people of God, full of grace, full of mercy, and full of grit, being willing to work with each other through good times and difficult. We pray, amen and amen. So we're reading in 2 John, the lady, a good woman in the house. So as we look at 2 John, he addresses this lady, but as we review John's letters, as we finish him up today, he was the disciple that Jesus loved. That's what we kind of believe. He is one of the top three, one of the best three friends of Jesus. It was Peter, James, and John. James and John's were brother. Not the James who wrote, the James who was a disciple who was one of the first to die. I'm getting confused. All these James and Johns and Marys? Why couldn't they name disciple 1, 2, 3? But he was one of Jesus' closest. He was a gospel writer, the Gospel of John. He's referred to as the elder or his servant John. We believe he's the same John who wrote the book of Revelation, the revelation of Jesus Christ. We're not sure. Now, 2 John is very similar to 1 John. Live in the light. Continue to follow God. Love his commandments. Be good children. Keep the faith. Very general, good, basic Christian encouragement. And there's kind of two big ideas in 2 John. Abide in God's commands, just like a lot of other parts of John, but not with false prophets. He gets into the false prophets now. So we begin, though, going back to verse 1. The elder, that's John, he's referring to himself, to the lady chosen by God and to her children whom I love in truth, and not I only, but also all who know the truth. Now, who is this lady or this church? We don't know. And then why writer? Because the Greek words are the elect Lord, feminine form, like, you know, the word, Greek word for Lord, only here it's the feminine form, so it's a woman. So she's obviously a leader, the master, the lord of the house, the pastor, we'd think. Or it could be kind of a code like to the elect, because the church is often referred to as the elect. And some people think that might actually be her name. And then why would he write it in code? It's like almost so that if the Romans intercepted this letter, maybe they're going through tribulation and persecution. That way they wouldn't know about this church because it would sound like a family letter. I really take it as he's writing to a lady who's over this church. It's debatable, but he's writing to a church and this leader giving them advice. So then we have the children, obviously the congregants. You know, oftentimes Christians are referred to as children or referred to as sheep, so it kind of makes sense. So it's a letter he's writing to people he knows, whether it's a church in large or this lady pastor, leader, Lord, and the children of her congregation, we don't know. But there's basic truths in there. It is interesting because just out of the blue, we get this letter to someone we don't know. But it's obviously a small little church. And he goes in verse 2, because of the truth which lives in us and will be with us forever. He admires their faith. Like, you guys are in the faith. Now, we kind of take that for granted, but you should never underestimate that. Whether it's the church today, you see all kinds of problems in the church today. Back then, they had issues. Plus, they more likely could have Roman persecution, just like some churches in other countries around the world today. So keeping the faith, and he's happy for them and admires them. And he says in verse 3, grace and mercy and peace from God the Father and from Jesus Christ the Father's Son will be with us in truth and love. An initial greeting, you know, just giving a warm greeting to people he loves. And he goes, it has given me great joy to find some. Now here's some, not all. So there's obviously problems because it's not everybody. Some. If I said to you, you're a great congregation, or if I said, some of you are a great congregation, you'd all be looking, well, who's not the some? Obviously leaving some people out. So, I mean, there's issues. It gives me great joy to find some of your children walking in the truth just as the Father has commanded. He has a deep concern. He's like a father figure, a pastor figure, and he wants them to follow the commands. It's a main issue for John. Read the Bible. Know what you're supposed to do. You know, do what God says. The term, it's a watermark for their Christian faith. If you're a Christian, wow, what bizarre logic. You act like a Christian. You know, I always use sports analogies. If you're a volleyball player, you play volleyball. You don't just wear the uniform. Oh, I like this uniform. Well, do you play? No, I might get spiked in the face. Yeah, that's part of church life. You might get spiked in the faith. And we see that here. Things happen. But he has a deep love for this congregation. And he says, and now, dear lady, I'm not writing you a new command, but one we have had from the beginning. I ask that we love one another. Going back to the beginning, you know, the Old Testament, now, we're always to keep loving. And, you know, I'm not going to say who. You don't have to look at me when I say this. Don't look around too much. No elbows to your spouse. Some people are harder to love than others. Come on, yeah. I mean, it's just true. Some of you look in the mirror and you go, yep, I'm hard to love. Some of you look in the mirror like, what, me? Can't be me. It's Jim. No, it's probably you. Yeah, but Jim's like, when did he start picking on me? Where's Randy when I need him? He's back there. And this love in verse 6, that we walk in obedience to his commands. I mean, he just keeps saying, we got to follow Jesus. As you have heard from the beginning, his command is that you walk in love. Okay, if you have kids that are behaving, you don't just walk in and say, behave yourself. You're like, thank God, what's wrong? Isn't this nice? But if you have kids that are not behaving, you sit there and say, hey, buck up, behave, listen to me. So, I mean, obviously there's issues because John's saying, love each other. There's probably been some squabbles, you know. I don't like the way Sister Mary made the coffee. She used 2.5 scoops instead of 3. I like my coffee just a little weaker. And then she used that flavored stuff. I had an uncle. And I had a sister-in-law, and she would just do anything. She's a great hostess, and she made some of that flavored coffee. And he's a coffee drinker. He takes a big gulp. I mean, we're at a family guy. He just spits it out and cusses. What is this blankety blank blank? His wife was so mad. Some people are just hard to love. You know, there were issues. And it's why he's saying love one another. And generally, if you love something, it's just easier to deal with. You know, if you love someone, it's easier to forgive their sins. My kid makes a mistake. Well, you know, they're just a kid. Your kid makes a mistake. What's wrong with the kid? Why don't you raise your kid right? Oh, my kid's an angel. They make mistakes, but, you know. I mean, so if you love someone, it's easy to be forgiving. And you generally go with things you love. I mean, let's face it, if you don't like fish or raw food, you're not going to eat sushi or oysters on the half shell. You're just not. So if you love God, he's saying obviously you're going to follow him. You're going to do with things you love. And he's working on this love. And then he goes from love and he goes back to the Antichrist. Now, only in John, 1st and 2nd John, do we hear about the Antichrist. If you watch some movies or listen to some preaching, you would think the Antichrist is in every book in the Bible. This is the only place it is, 1st and 2nd John. And so just a little review we did in 1st John. There's more than one. You're like, what? I've seen the movie. If there's more than one, we're all in trouble. There's more than one. You know, the meaning for anti, it can mean against, instead of, replaced by. It can even, like, you know, English has a lot of different meanings to words. It can mean for this reason. Well, it's probably the meanings of against or replaced by. So it's someone who replaces Christ or who is against Christ, a substitute for Christ, and it's not good. And you know what Americans want to know? We want to know who the Antichrist is. Is it the Pope? You know those Catholics. I know some Catholics. They're good people, but I think the Pope's the Antichrist. And if it's not the Pope, it's Ronald Reagan, because he rode a white horse. And if it's not Ronald Reagan, it could be Prince Charles. I don't know who. I mean, we've had so many different Antichrist theories. And here's the thing. John doesn't care. It's not like, let's guess who it is. He's like, yeah, there's many of them. They're a pain. Move on. And what's really important is he doesn't fixate on the Antichrist. What does he fixate on? Not what we do. We want to know who it is, when he's going to show up, what's he going to look like. You know, what country is he from? Is he from Europe? Another German. See, I'm German. I hate getting picked up and thrown in the Nazi barrel. It's going to be another German. No, we don't know. But you know what John worries about? Are you keeping the faith? Are you loving one another? Are you following the commandments? And how do you know how to follow the commandments unless you read the Bible? And all we care about, who's the Antichrist? He goes, no, keep the faith. So in verse 8, watch out that you do not lose what we have already worked for, but that you may be rewarded fully. You know, he talks about, in this life, we get rewards, but even in heaven, there's rewards to a point. It's hard to understand that, but they're there. Anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever continues in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. So, we love one another, we follow His commands, and it shows that we have them. I mean, these are basic personal teachings from John. And the only way to really know Christ and to know His commands is to read your Bible. You've got to read your Bible. And then he expands on the idea. But if anyone comes to you, so we've gone from love one another, you know, there's an Antichrist coming, and then it's like, watch out for some. It's not even the Antichrist. It's, if someone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not take them into your house or welcome them. If anyone who welcomes them shares in their wicked work. So there's just some people who kind of claim to be of Christ, but they don't teach this stuff. Stay away from. Not that we hide from the world. Let's just face it. We could never leave the building. Okay, after you leave church today, jump in your car, get to your garage, jump out and get in the house. Don't even wave at your neighbor if they didn't go to church. Because obviously, maybe they're the Antichrist. Some of you probably think you live next door to the Antichrist. There's probably people who live next door to you that think you're the Antichrist. My neighbors think I'm an angel. Why are you laughing? Okay, my kids and my wife know I'm not an angel. So, you don't hide from them, but he's like, you don't work with them, you don't encourage them, you protect others from them. If they're false prophets, you know, wolves in sheep clothing, or coyotes out biting the sheep, stay away from them. But you don't hide from the world. But you don't let them hurt the church. You protect yourselves and protect other believers. You don't support them. You know, I feel sorry for people who are homebound and they watch church sometimes. And there's just some people I'd be very careful who I give my money to. And they don't know. You need to be careful. Because not everyone who claims Christ is of Christ. And then in verse 12, I have much to write you, but I do not want to use paper and ink. Instead, I hope to visit with you and talk with you face to face so that your joy may be complete. The children of your sister who is chosen by God sends their greeting. So it sounds like maybe there's another sister church. I don't know. But here's the thing. We're at a church. And they've got some issues. And when he says some instead of all, but that's people. You've heard the joke, you know, where there's two or more, there's problems. I mean, you get more than one person together, you're going to have issues. You're just always going to have issues. So he's writing to this church, this lady, we don't always know. And then we get to 3 John, and it's like he's writing a more personal friend. It's another good, we had a good woman, he's writing a good man. And is it kind of just to Gaius, or is it to Gaius have a church? It kind of seems maybe like both, but he's writing to Gaius personally, and kind of, whereas 2 John was to the whole church and the lady, we don't necessarily know. But it's another group of people, another man here that he really has a good relationship, and they're working together. So, 3 John 1, the elder, that's John again, he's writing, to my dear friend Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along. Again, he loves them. He gets along with them. Now, the King James uses the word prosper, so some people think that's a divine call for blessing and financial wealth, if only that was true. I think it's more of a general greeting like, I just hope things go well with you. You know, I hope your car starts when it's cold outside. Because that's when you find out if you have a dead battery or a weak battery. It can chug along until weather like this, just when you need it, and then you're stuck. He's like, no, I pray things go well for you. I mean, if you have friends and family, you wish things go well for them. That's just normal, and he loves these people. It's personal. These aren't just far off people that he, you know, God be with you. He's like, you know, you're my friends and family, and I want the best for you. And he goes, it gave me great joy when some believers came and testified about your faithfulness to the truth, telling how you continue to walk in it. Again, he doesn't take this for granted. He's glad they're keeping in the faith. People fall away. People walk away from the faith. Sometimes life is hard, and it gets to you. People get jaded and discouraged. And he's glad that they're keeping the faith. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. He's happy for them. And again, children, it would seem like they're fellow people with Gaius. Or is Gaius the leader of this church? We don't know. But he's an elder. He's like a father. And he's happy for his family doing well. Verse 5, dear friend, you are faithful in what you're doing for the brothers and sisters, even though they are strangers to you. They have told the church about your love. Please send them on their way in a manner that honors God. Gaius is taking care of people. Even some he doesn't know. Now again, it's easy to take care of friends and family. It's a little harder when it's somebody you don't know. Because unless you're naive, you're always a little worried. Okay, with strangers, with benevolence, I have to admit, I'm a little jaded. I always got both antennas up looking for scammers. And if I can find somebody who knows the person, Like, I call up, you know, our network. So have you worked with so-and-so? Do you know this guy or gal? You know, and, well, I've never heard of them, but that's a good sign. That means, you know, they haven't been, you know, coming to the food bank, so they must be doing well. And they just sometimes people hit a hard luck. Like one time I called, I mean, because the guy said he was sick, and I don't just believe everybody. And I talked to her, and she goes, yes, he really has cancer. He's had major surgery. If you see him, he has a big bandage on his head. It's the real deal. One time we were helping somebody with a baby. And we had a kind of a group chat. And I didn't want to put it on the group chat, but I call a friend, a lady I know. I go, hey, this sounds terrible, but I go, is there really a baby? Because, you know, babies are a great way to sell for benevolence. I've known people who have done that. And we had to call DHS on them. And my friend goes, I don't know, Doug, but I'm on my way to the hotel to check. Because you have to do that. When you're working with people you don't know, it's harder. I mean, sometimes I get a call and she goes, I know this guy. He's a straight shooter. You can trust him. And sometimes, nope. They've been scamming for years. They're always coming back for help. They waste their money. They spend it, you know, foolishly, and then they ask for more. I don't want to throw money in a black hole. So it's harder when you don't know people. And then he goes in verse 7, it was for the sake of the name that we went out, receiving no help from pagans. Now, I'm not sure why he kind of says this, no help from unbelievers. I'm like he would expect it, but he's like, it's kind of like almost we're on our own. It's just us and the church. And they're doing it because of Christ, the good news. There's people who need to hear the good news. Hope and purpose in a troubled world. And people need to hear the good news. And he goes, we ought to, therefore, to show hospitality to such people so that we may work together for the truth. So, in one sense, he's saying, be careful, stay away from these people. And in this sense, he's saying, make sure you help these people. One of the hallmarks of the New Testament, when we see the churches, they helped people. Now, I've preached on this before, but it's good to review. There was a thing called exposure in the Greco-Roman world, and probably other worlds. If you had a child and you didn't want them, you basically dumped it out at the city dump. I was reading a letter from the first century. It was in Latin, translated in English. And a woman was pregnant and her husband died. And she wrote her mom, I'm pregnant, your son's dead, I don't want the baby, do you want the baby? And the grandmother goes, no, I don't want him, do what you have to. Which kind of implied, send it to the city dump. And you know what Christians did? These weren't rich people. They went to the city dump and they picked up these kids and they raised them in the faith. And the early church, some of the things pagans said about the early church is, my, what women they have. Sometimes today's church, well, women should just bake cookies and serve us men. Back then, it's like, my, what women they have. And one of the reasons they had probably more women in some sense is because generally it was the women who got dumped at the garbage dump. China had a one-child policy. Talk about stupid. What do you think is going to happen in 20 years? Because you know what they all wanted? Boys. So they got rid of the girls. Well, in 20 years, who are they going to marry? They're going to go to Australia and look for women. You know, so they were picking up these girls. And so there was probably more girls. That's what the Christian church did. We ought therefore to show hospitality to such people so that we may work together for the truth. Work together. Show hospitality. Lift each other up. I mean, I'm going to kind of be a little negative here because the early church was picking up children, exposed to the world. It was called exposure. And sometimes we don't even take care of our own. I was reading a story about honorariums and how the church, our church is very gracious. I feel blessed here. A lot of churches are, but some churches are just a little cheap. And she did this women's conference. She went to a women's conference, traveled, spoke all weekend, and at the end, they gave her one of the table settings as her honorarium. That's it. And she goes, thank you. And this was a pastoral blog, like, churches, make sure you take care of people. Now, I could say they probably wouldn't have done that to a guy,
I'm sure they have, but no, show hospitality, be generous. This woman traveled to get there, gas, spent her whole weekend to get there, and you give her a table setting? John's like, no, take care of each other. Be kind to each other. It's always blessed me, like when we do the angel tree here, we put it up the first Sunday and all the angels are gone. People are fighting for it. Like Black Friday, you know? Isn't it neat that we're like, who's going to get the last angel? It's a blessing. When I see that, it's like, thank you. Some churches don't want to do angel trees. And let's face it, sometimes you get taken advantage by not these little angels, but these little angels, uncles and aunts and parents. But you guys fight for the chance to buy them gifts. It's a blessing. And let's face it, hospitality can be challenging. Why? Because sometimes we get betrayed. Read in verse 9, I wrote to the church about Diotrephes, who loves to be first and will not welcome us. So when I come, I will call attention to what he is doing, spreading malicious nonsense about us. He's a gossip. He doesn't like John. John's a true leader of the church. He walked with Jesus. And this guy's like, don't listen to him, listen to me. Not satisfied with that, he even refuses to welcome other believers. He also stops those who want to do so and puts them out of the church. This guy's like a church leader, and he's putting people out of the church for wanting to help people. Dear friends, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. Any who does what is good is from God. Any who does what is evil is not seen from God. You know, is he a believer? Well, maybe not. Well, there's a lot of believers who are messed up. I mean, it shouldn't be. And why? I'll say this. We are not perfect. The church takes in sick and hurting people, and we should. We should. Well, sometimes when you take in sick and hurting people, they're sick and hurting. Imagine that. You know, we're often referred to as sheep. I've worked with sheep. I've sheared sheep. I can't remember ever necessarily being bitten by sheep, but I'm sure I have been. I was bitten by a horse once, and I really remember that. Their mouths are bigger than sheep. You know, the old joke is sheep bite. I mean, you realize the fact that we have problems is a good sign, because that means we're dealing with hurting people. We are not an elite club. I mean, there's some clubs like, well, how much do you make? You know, how far in society are you? It's kind of like an elite society, not us. The early church was known for taking in sometimes what they would call the dregs of society. Women were sometimes second-class citizens, taking in women. And so then you would have some elites sitting with non-elites. It was known for that. So, and if you do that, I mean, hurting people hurt people. That's a good sign in a sense. What bothers me is some people don't want to grow up. I'm hurting and I want to stay hurting. No, we want to push you to get healed. Sometimes setting a broken leg hurts. Some people don't want to get their broken leg set. If you don't set it, it's going to heal bad and you're going to walk with a limp. So it's like sometimes we want people to grow up. And then he kind of closes with 12. Demetrius is well spoken by everyone. He goes from the bad guy to the good guy, and even by the truth itself. We speak well of him, and you know that our testimony is true. I have much to write you, but I do not want to do so with pen and ink. I hope to see you soon, and we'll talk face to face. Peace to you, friend. Here, sending their greetings, greet the friends by name. He's talking about fellowship. Working together, being together. We need each other. Many of you have heard, and I've preached on a loneliness epidemic. COVID kind of revealed that and really aggravated it. You know, with online. Being online is not the same as being in person. I am so glad the online church has died after COVID. It's still there. We still do it. There's people who can't make it. But online church is not the same as church. I went on my honeymoon with my wife. She didn't go to Italy. I didn't go to Germany. And we FaceTimed. No. You know, it's online church is good. We need each other. But hey, Japan also has a loneliness epidemic. In some ways worse than us. It's their culture, society. But don't worry. Japan has a ministry of loneliness to address the problem. Because if the government gets involved, what could go wrong? I mean, it's sad that it's so bad, though, the government is doing that. We need each other. We were made for fellowship. We are social beings. We are made to interact. And you know, sometimes we don't always get along with each other, but that's the way life is. And that's why it takes grit and grace in the life of the church to build the church and make it work. You know, we're not in a cruise ship. It's more like a workship, a tugboat. And we're not always easy to get along with. Okay, I've lived in 4 different states, North Dakota, Minnesota, Texas, and Kansas. I've lived in 5 different towns, from 1,400 to over 5 million in the Metroplex. And you know what? Okay, I've only lived in the Midwest. Not the West Coast, not the East Coast, not the Deep South. But pretty much, people are people, regardless of the accent. Now, I have to admit, Amarillo has a unique accent. It's that Southern. They're fixing things. They're always fixing things. I'm fixing to fix that. I want you to know, before God, I never said fixing to. I say that with pride. Even when I moved to Dallas, they didn't say fixing to. And you don't know this. In Amarillo and Dallas and the South, Kim is a 2-syllable word. So is light. Turn out the lights. My name is Cam. My brother's name is Dell. D-E-L. No, no, it's Dale. No, it's Dell. That's what I said, Dale. Dell. Dale. Not D-A-L-E. But they're just people. I mean, once you get past, and let's face it, I'm a Yankee. I talk fast. Sometimes I would talk and I've had somebody look at me like, could you repeat that? In English? Or can you repeat that in Texan? It's all the same. I loved Amarillo. I mean, I make fun of it. I mean, flag football, mountain biking, road biking, skiing, had a ball, had a great church and friends. And then just to top it all off, the best thing ever, that's where I met Christy. It's like the gym and my kids. But it is fun to make fun of them. But I loved it. I mean, people are people no matter where you go. And just because they have a different accent. You know, there's uptight people. There's friendly people. Yeah, we can say Californians are nuts. The Deep South is too friendly. North Dakotans too stoic. New York's mean. Yeah, they're generalities, but we're all just people. Just, we need to start fixing to get along. I said that sarcastically, so I really didn't work fixing into my English. So look at John. He had some good friends. He had problems. You know, some people seem like they were tearing up the church. You know, he's telling people, and he's got to tell people, love Jesus, love each other, you know, follow your Bible, read it. Why? Because some people don't. You know, there's the old joke, the church is full of hypocrites, and should I plead guilty or plead the fifth? It's true. We are at times, and I'm not going to defend that. Again, it's like I said, some people should grow up, but I'm going to tell you, no matter where you go, you're going to have problem people. You join the Lions Club. You join the Young Republicans, the College Democrats. No matter where you go, go to the Deering Church, go to the Nazarene Church. There's going to be problem people, you know. Join the Dietetics Club, the Young Engineers Club, the Accountants Group, Future Farmers of America. You're always going to have problems. You know, and some people, this is sad. They can't deal with it, and so they just don't even join anything anymore. And that's to their own detriment, because we need each other. Because no matter where you go, people are going to hurt you. I'm not using that as an excuse to defend the church, but that's just life, no matter where you go. And then I've seen many gracious, friendly organizations, and I can gladly say, not just some, but many of those were the church. I mean, we're not perfect. We have our problems. But it's a good church. And people, we need each other. And sometimes it takes grit to deal with each other. And it takes grit to deal with troubled people. If you want to work with benevolence, you got to have grit. You got to have thick skin because you're going to get burned. People will take advantage of you. I remember one time preaching about a story. I didn't say a name. I just told a situation. And after church, somebody goes, I know who you were talking about. And he was right. It's just hard. There's only one solution. It's grit and grace. I mean, we just got to be willing to work with each other through all the difficulties. That's what John did. I mean, he had somebody who was kicking people out of the church. He had other friends who he loved. And he's telling me, he goes, and he doesn't say, all of you are so deep in the faith. He goes, some of you, not even many, some. They got problems. Problems happen. You know, people act mean. People get mad. Some people are mean. Some are having a bad day. You know, sometimes when you catch a person at the wrong time, they're having a bad day. And here's the problem. People act mean sometimes because we let them. Because it's easier to ignore. You shouldn't ignore a bully or a gossip or a mean-spirited person or abusive person. But we are to interact as the church and love each other, sometimes confront each other. I worked at the VA for many years. And I can tell you, you know, as a boss sometimes dealing with employees, whenever an employee got excited and got mad and I got excited and mad back at him, it usually didn't go well for either of us. Now, I was the boss. I could pull, I'm the boss card. And he has to do what I want to say. But it generally went much better when I handle it with a little bit of grit and a lot of grace. It just goes better. And that's how we should deal with each other. Life is hard at times. Sometimes too often. People can be hard to work with. Sometimes too often. But you got to admit, like we just came through the holidays. There's nothing better. Like for us, we have our Christmas Eve service, and I see everybody here, and we have the candlelight service, and it's just neat to see people here. And then we go home, and we have our chocolate and our cider, and we open presents and sausage and smoked sausage. And I don't know, something about eating smoked sausage and summer sausage by myself just isn't as nice as eating with Christy and the kids and the guests. We're made for fellowship. And some people don't have that, and we as a church are called out to reach out to them and to be gracious when they come here or when we go out. You know, 1st and 2nd and 3rd John, he's a pastor who's got problems, or an elder who's got problems, and he doesn't quit. He keeps going forward. He has grit. He's like, I'm going to work with these people. I love these people. And some of them really are just a pain, hard to work with. You know, the guy's kicking people out of the church. I can just imagine coming in some morning and, you know, some people said, well, Doug, those people came here, man. We want you to know we kicked them out. We wouldn't let them in. They weren't dressed right. I'd be like, oh, God, help us. And that's like what is happening. Those are the kind of people I had to deal with. But John, he wouldn't quit. He loved them. He had grit. He gave them grace. Same with us. It's an example to set for us. Empowered by the Holy Spirit. To love each other, to care for each other, to have thick skin, another way of saying having grit, to be gracious to each other, and hoping people have grit and grace for us. Empowered by the Holy Spirit to keep our hope and purpose in Christ, always moving forward in Christ. Amen. Let us close in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come before you today, Lord, we read through 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, churches that had problems, dealt with them. Some were very tough. 2,000 years, nothing's changed. Let us be a church here, Lord. I feel so glad sometimes the way, or oftentimes, most of the time, how we deal with troubled people, how gracious we can be. And Lord, let us continue to do so and not ignore problems, but to address them in grace and faithfulness. We pray this in your holy name, Lord. Amen and amen.